We're glad you've joined us on Songs of Praise, an hour of musical reflection to encourage your heart.
Thank you. was wearied, I was worried with my trouble, and my heart by its burden was oppressed. Now I've learned my Savior's lesson on the lilies, and I find in its teaching perfect rest. When the lilies I consider, how they grow so pure and fair, clothed in all their wondrous beauty, I can trust my Father's care. Even as the lily groweth, free from worry, free from fear, so I sweetly rest in Jesus, for I know He's always near. I was wearied, I was worried with my trouble, and my heart by its burden was oppressed. Now I've learned my Savior's lesson on the lilies, and I find in its teaching perfect rest. I can trust Him for the future, for I'm sure He knows the way. I will follow where He leads me, to the land of fadeless day. Oh, the wonder, oh, the glory, that someday like Him I'll be. All things change to heavenly beauty, I shall live eternally. I was weary, and my heart by its burden was oppressed. Now I've learned my Savior's lesson on the lilies, and I find in its teaching perfect rest. And I find in its teaching.
Thank you.
We hope you're enjoying Songs of Praise. Here's some more inspirational music.
God, my Savior, Child of the King, your heavenly Father owns everything. How does it feel to know you are loved by the one who created the stars up above? How does it feel? know how it feels.
Morning by morning, I wake up to find the power.
Songs of Praise continues with more inspirational music.
Oh no, the old story will never grow old. How Jesus died to save my soul. Oh no, the old story will never grow old. That story will never grow old. I went to the church one lonely night. I sat way back, for my soul was not right. The preacher was preaching how Jesus died for a sin-filled world. He gave up his life. I went to the altar and knelt down in prayer. Lord, please and he pardoned me there. He lifted my burdens, brought peace to my soul. What made my life new was a story so old. Oh no, the old story will never grow old. How Jesus died to save my soul. Oh no, the old story will never grow old. That story will never grow old. Many years have passed by since I met the Lord, and I remember that night when the story was told. Time has no hold on the message it brings. That story is old, but it's still blessing me. Oh no, the old story will never grow old. How Jesus died to save my soul. Oh no, the old story will never grow old. That story will never grow old. No, that story will never grow old.
Ooh. Sinners lost and hopeless, Jesus' blood can make you free. For he saved the worst among you when he saved a wretch like me. And I know,
yes, I know,
yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And I know,
yes, I know,
yes, I know,
I surely know,
Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean.
Vilest sinner clean.
To the faint he giveth power, through the mountains makes a way, findeth water in the desert, turns a night to golden day. And I know,
yes, I know,
yes, I know,
I surely know,
Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And I know,
yes, I know,
yes, I know, Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean.
Vilest sinner clean.
In temptation he is near me, holds the powers of hell at bay, guides you to the path of safety, gives you grace for every day. And I know,
yes, I know,
yes, I know,
I surely know,
Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And I know,
yes, I know,
yes, I know,
I surely know,
Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean.
Jesus' blood can make the vilest sinner clean.
Jesus calling, and in him I find the reason to go on. With my eyes fixed on Jesus, I can face another day. With my hand in my Savior's, I don't need to go astray. With my heart simply trusting, there are answers when I pray. In the shelter of his arms I want to stay. When temptations like great waves come dashing round me, and my feeble feet are slipping in the sand, and there's nothing in this world to help or hold me, then it's Jesus who alone can make me stand. When dark doubts and fears come rolling like a river, and they're washing like a flood upon my soul, then I find that there's an anchor in my Savior. When I trust in him, he takes complete control. With my eyes fixed on Jesus, I can face another day. With my hand in my Savior's, I don't need to go astray. With my heart simply trusting, there are answers when I pray. In the shelter of his arms, I want to stay. I want to stay.
Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If Jesus, 'tis now.
what they had done when they cried, "Crucify God's only Son." They did not realize this was the promised seed. He had come to bruise Satan's head, so Calvary had to be.
From the beginning, God's plan was set in place. From Bethlehem to Calvary, God's purpose was grace. He drank from the bitter cup all the dregs of sin. And when he cried, "It is finished," salvation began.
Rejoice in victory, for the wonder of it all, Calvary touched a sinner like me.
This world doesn't know to this very day how Calvary touched my life, how everything was changed. But I know what he did for me, and I can testify. When Calvary touched this heart of mine, I passed from death to life.
Listening to Songs of Praise. It's our desire to encourage and uplift your thoughts to our loving Creator God.
There was a mountain, and there were three trees. There was a good man, and there were two thieves. A man took that middle cross, and Barabbas went free.
I love that man in the middle, because I know that he first loved me.
The scenery
darkened sky. It was not from pain, but a broken heart that middle man died.
I love that man in the middle, because I know
begging, his hands were extended in need. He had little hope of escaping his life. A blind beggar was all he would be. He heard a commotion, people had gathered. Someone said Jesus was nigh. He cried, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And by his faith was given his sight.
Make way for the Master, Jesus is passing by. Call out his name, he will bring new life.
In him is the blessed hope for all men, that brings us from darkness to
like the blind man begging in search for a glimpse of the light. Awakened each morning with fear and despair, still haunted by shadows of night. Then one day a preacher spoke of a Savior. Someone took me by the hand. I cried out for mercy.
No!
open door. Revelation 3, verse 8. An open door.
An open door.
An open door.
Join us again next time on Songs of Praise, brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio, to enjoy more uplifting music.
Welcome to 3ABN Australia Radio's book reading program. The book, The Ministry of Healing by Ellen White, provides sound counsel regarding holistic health. It covers all aspects of living that contributes to good health, like cheerfulness, fresh air, exercise, diet, and positive relationships with other people, to name a few. Crucial also is a personal relationship with our Creator, who gave us life and everything we need for health and happiness. In this book, Ellen White deals with sickness of the soul and the healing balm to be found by trusting God in all things. Written in simple, beautiful language, Ministry of Healing will point to a life full of joy and happiness, a life connected with the source of healing power. Let's join our book reader, Rosalie Rickards.
Hello, this is Rosalie, and I'm reading from the book Ministry of Healing by Ellen White. Continuing chapter 42. You know, says Peter, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. 1 Peter 1:18. Oh, had these been sufficient to purchase the salvation of man, how easily it might have been accomplished by him who says, the silver is mine and the gold is mine. Haggai 2 verse 8. But the sinner could be redeemed only by the precious blood of the Son of God. Those who, failing to appreciate this wonderful sacrifice, withhold themselves from Christ's service, will perish in their selfishness. Subheading: Singleness of Purpose. In the life of Christ, everything was made subordinate to his work, the great work of redemption which he came to accomplish. And the same devotion, the same self-denial and sacrifice, the same subjection to the claims of the Word of God is to be manifest in his disciples. Everyone who accepts Christ as his personal Saviour will long for the privilege of serving God. Contemplating what heaven has done for him, his heart is moved with boundless love and adoring gratitude. He is eager to signalize his gratitude by devoting his abilities to God's service. He longs to show his love for Christ and for his purchased possession. He covets toil, hardship, sacrifice. The true worker for God will do his best, because in so doing he can glorify his Master. He will do right in order to regard the requirements of God. He will endeavor to improve all his faculties. He will perform every day as unto God. His one desire will be that Christ may receive homage and perfect service. There is a picture representing a bullock standing between a plow and an altar, with the inscription, ready for either, ready to toil in the furrow or to be offered an altar of sacrifice. This is the position of the true child of God, willing to go where duty calls, to deny self, to sacrifice for the Redeemer's cause. End of chapter 42. Chapter 43, A Higher Experience. We need constantly a fresh revelation of Christ, a daily experience that harmonizes with his teachings. High and holy attainments are within our reach. Continual progress in knowledge and virtue is God's purpose for us. His law is the echo of his own voice, giving to all the invitation, come up higher. Be holy, holier still. Every day we may advance in perfection of Christian character. Those who are engaged in service for the Master need an experience much higher, deeper, broader than many have yet thought of having. Many who are already members of God's great family know little of what it means to behold his glory and to be changed from glory to glory. Many have a twilight perception of Christ's excellence, and their hearts thrill with joy. They long for a fuller, deeper sense of the Saviour's love. Let these cherish every desire of the soul after God. the Holy Spirit works with those who will be worked, molds those who will be molded, fashions those who will be fashioned. Give yourselves the culture of spiritual thoughts and holy communings. You have seen but the first rays of early dawn of His glory. As you follow on to know the Lord, you will know that the path of the righteous is as the light of the dawn that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Proverbs 4 verse 18. These things have I spoken to you, said Christ, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. John 15, 11. Ever before him, Christ saw the result of his mission. His early life, so full of toil and self-sacrifice, was cheered by the thought that he would not have all this travail for naught. By giving his life for the life of men, he would restore in humanity the image of God. He would lift us up from the dust, reshape the character after the pattern of his own character, and make it beautiful with his own glory. Christ saw of the travail of his soul and was satisfied. He viewed the expanse of eternity and saw the happiness of those who through his humiliation should receive pardon and everlasting life. He was wounded for their transgressions, bruised for their iniquities. The chastisement of their peace was upon him, and with his stripes they were healed. He heard the shout of the redeemed. He heard the ransomed ones singing the song of Moses and the Lamb. Although the baptism of blood must first be received, although the sins of the world were to weigh upon his innocent soul, although the shadow of an unspeakable woe was upon him, yet for the joy that was to set before him, he chose to endure the cross and despised the shame. This joy all his followers are to share. However great and glorious hereafter, our reward is not all to be reserved for the time of final deliverance. Even here we are by faith to enter into the Saviour's joy. Like Moses, we are to endure as seeing the invisible. Now the church is militant. Now we are confronted with a world in darkness, almost wholly given over to idolatry. In the words of the hymn, The Joy of the Lord, Elizabeth Clefani writes, There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold, but one was out on the hills away, far, far from the gates of gold. Away on the mountains wild and bare, away from the tender shepherd's care. Lord, thou hast here thy 99. Are they not enough for thee? But the shepherd made answer, One of mine has wandered away from me. And although the road be rough and steep, I go to the desert to find my sheep. But none of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed, nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through ere he found his sheep that was lost. Far out in the desert he heard its cry, fainting and helpless and ready to die. Lord, whence are these blood drops all the way that mark out the mountain's track? They were shed for the one who had gone astray, ere the shepherd could bring him back. Lord, why are thy hands so rent and torn? They were pierced tonight by many a thorn. But all through the mountains thunder-riven, and up from the rocky steep, there rose a cry to the gate of heaven, Rejoice, I have found my sheep. and the angels sang around the throne, "Rejoice, for the Lord brings back his own." Ellen White continues, "But the day is coming when the battle will have been fought and the victory won. The will of God is to be done on earth as it is done in heaven. The nations of the saved will know now no other law than the law of heaven, and will be a happy, united family, clothed with the garments of praise and thanksgiving, the robe of Christ's righteousness. All nature, in its surpassing loveliness, will offer to God a tribute of praise and adoration. The light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be sevenfold greater than it is now. The years will move on in gladness. Over the scene, the morning stars will sing together, and the sons of God will shout for joy, while God and Christ will unite in proclaiming, 'There shall be no more sin, neither shall there be any more death.' These visions of future glory, scenes pictured by the hand of God, should be dear to his children. Stand on the threshold of eternity and hear the gracious welcome given to those who in this life have cooperated with Christ, regarding it as a privilege and an honor to suffer for his sake. With the angels they cast their crowns at the feet of the Redeemer, explaining, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb for ever and ever.'" Revelation 5, verses 12 and 13. To be continued.
Join us again next time when Rosalie Rickards continues reading from the book, The Ministry of Healing, here on your station, 3ABN Australia Radio. Hope you enjoy the short presentation of how God led his people after the Reformation from lineagejourney.com.
Ellen White wasn't the first or only person to receive visions during this time period. Two men also received the gift of prophecy, but each one would have vastly different experiences and outcomes in their lives and ministry. God often overlooks people that are qualified in an earthly sense and uses those whom others might not. Academic qualifications, eloquent speech, and a popular personality are all valued by society, but God looks for the person who is humble, who, if they are used, will bring honor to God. The first person worthy of our mention is William Foy. William Foy, an African-American, was known as an exceptional speaker and was in his early 20s in 1842 when he received several dramatic visions. The first was on January the 18th, and it lasted for 2.5 hours and happened in a church in Southwark Street here in Boston. A physician was present and could detect no sign of life except around his heart. His breath had left him. He had a second vision on February the 4th that lasted for 13.5 hours and was instructed to share this vision with others. William Foy was hesitant to go public due to the large amount of prejudice he would receive as an African American during this period of America's history. Yet when he received an invitation to speak in a church and share his vision, he agreed. The church gladly heard his message, and he soon got invitations over the next 3 months to speak in churches of all different denominations. William Foy served faithfully as a prophet in the pre-Great Disappointment period. He never said that his gift would extend for a long time or that he would receive more visions. The evidence seems to suggest that he'd received a specific message for a specific time and that he faithfully fulfilled this task. The second man to receive visions was named Hazen Foss. In January of 1845, he met Ellen White and told her his story. Shortly after she received her first vision, he received the exact same vision and was instructed to tell others about it, yet he didn't. Still upset after the great disappointment of 1844 and possibly not wanting to open himself to ridicule, he refused. The Lord came to him and told him that he would have another opportunity, yet if he still refused, the gift would be given to somebody else. Even with such a warning, he manifested a recalcitrant and rebellious attitude and did not share, and a strange feeling came over him, and he heard a voice say, "You have grieved away the Spirit of God." Frightened and horrified, he decided he would share the vision and called a meeting of the Advent believers. He explained to those present what had happened, but when it came time to share the vision, he couldn't remember any of it, not even a single word. Those present later described it as a most horrible and sobering scene. As he spoke to Ellen White, he implored her to be faithful to the gift that God had given her and lamented himself as a lost man. He would live till his 70s and lies buried here, but in his life he would never show any more spiritual interest again. Here in East Sullivan in northern Maine, we have the grave of William Foy. And so we have the story of two men, one obedient to the call of God and one resistant to the call of God. The best time to follow God, the best time to follow His plan for our lives is always the earliest time. It is never good to delay, to debate, or to barter with God. If God is calling you to ministry, harden not your heart. Follow the Lord and share the message wherever He leads.
To view more episodes in this series, visit lineagejourney.com.